Octopodes?
Octopods?
Podes, P-O-D-E-S. That's octopods.
It's like got an E at the end.
I don't know. I'm sticking with octopods because octopodes sounds weird. That can't be right. I deny. Welcome to Products of Grace, a podcast by Mercy Hill Church. My name is Blake McCullough, and with me today I have Lawson Harlow and Dr. Annick Selrak. So, gentlemen, how are we today?
I'm good.
Pretty good. Been sitting in front of a computer all day. Yeah, had headphones on the last 3 hours.
I didn't like
that
question. It made me uncomfortable.
Why?
I felt, I don't know. Made me feel weird. The whole thing was weird. Like, I sat there and listened to it, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I like this.
I should have put my own spin on it. Like, I never get to do this.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, maybe I could ask you, what are we doing today? Anybody know what we're doing today?
No, we don't know that
Charles
either.
Knows that. yeah.
Welcome back to another Donless podcast, where we meander and mosey.
And muse.
And muse.
A faithful listener sent me a picture of his blog where his blog is Meanderings and Musings.
Really?
Yeah, so he was encouraged by our uses of meandering and musing.
Well, I guess we can.
Hey, man, if you want to, like, I don't know, if you want to just advertise with us, you can.
I need to have him on the podcast, actually. That would be really fun.
We'll mention your blog.
We could meander and muse down Lawson's 19-year-old youth ministry journey, which it would be a lot.
Yeah, I don't want to think about mine.
Yeah, me either. Me either, because they were ugly. But yeah. Anyway, all right, so here's the deal. Don's not here, and we're not going to pretend like we're funny.
That's I am funny.
Ha.
I'm hilarious.
Ha. Blake is, I would like to argue, one of the funniest people on the podcast. You just really have to listen between the lines.
Yeah.
Like, his timing is impeccable.
I need people to work with, though. Like, if I'm working with people who aren't funny, then I'm just up a creek.
Without a paddle?
Yeah.
So that's why it's hopeless, because neither of us are funny.
I've never claimed to be funny.
Good.
I did say Bahamas in the sermon, and that made me laugh.
Yes, this is great. Okay. That made me laugh. I was so upset.
And I was like, why did I do that?
I was so upset that Don wasn't here.
Wow.
Because I normally text him when you try to
do
be funny
really?
And it fails. Yes.
I got chuckles.
And like
there
Sarah.
Were chuckles.
Sarah wasn't. No.
I did.
You imagined this.
No, I got chuckles.
Maybe from.
And I wasn't trying to be funny. It's actually a descriptor. It was intentionally descriptive.
Right, but no. It
was
fell
meant
flat.
To be.
It fell flat.
All right, whatever.
What was the Bahamas?
He said,
the 12 palm trees?
Yeah. He was like, and he's taking them to the Bahamas. It was like this big moment.
I wasn't trying to be funny.
I almost visibly rolled my eyes. I was like, this one time that Lawson's like, I'm going to be funny. I'm going to tell
a joke. I really wasn't. I was trying to be descriptive.
It didn't work. If
the goal was getting a laugh, of course it didn't work.
No,
however,
I'm just saying, it did stick in my mind, but not for the right reason. Right.
That's all right.
Not because I'm like, oh, Bahamas, palm trees, water.
That's
I was
what
like,
it is.
How'd they get the Bahamas in the desert?
It was a nice tropical area. Right. I am really curious what this place would have looked like, though, because it's this afterthought, theoretically. Inside of that text where he's like, and then we went to Elam, where there are 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. Mm. They did some, who was it? I think it was Matthew Henry, maybe. No, it was Gill, who wrote way too much on the actual discovery of Elam, where there's like 2,000 palm trees now, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't think the point is there's 2,000 palm trees now. But anyway.
And that means there's going to be 2,000 believers.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, because there were 70 palm trees, which meant
70 times 2,000.
That was 70 AD was a destruction.
Oh!
And then
2,000-year millennial reign.
2,000 years later, Jesus is going to come back. So he's going to come back anytime.
Oh my gosh. I like that. That's good. That was the actual interpretation of
that. But then there was 12 springs of water, which coincides with the 12 apostles.
That's what Gil said, bro. That's what Gil said. 12
tribes of Israel.
He said the 12 springs of water, one per 12. One per tribe, and then he said, or making reference to the 12 apostles who are the gospel springs of the New Testament.
You know,
it's good to know that you can read Gil still and be like, he's wrong. Because I was wondering.
I often disagree with Gil, but Gil is right a lot.
Weren't there 70 elders in Israel that Moses appointed as rulers over the people?
That's chapter 19. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's 70-something in Revelation, though. 70 elders, right?
No, I thought it was 24 elders in Revelation. 24. Now, I'm pretty sure there's 70.
That's when his
Jethro comes and he's like, hey, why are you talking to all these people?
Yeah, that's coming up, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
He splits it.
I thought it was 70. I don't know.
It's based on like hundreds, tens.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in my mind, it was 70, and that's the 70 palm trees and the 12 for the 12 tribes, and so it all works out.
Yeah.
But 70 palm trees don't seem like a lot for like 2 million people.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. What?
He's
trying to vindicate himself right now.
No, it does say Moses was told by God to select 70 elders to receive some of the Holy Spirit conferred on him and to share with him the burden of ruling the people of Israel.
Yep, there you go.
See?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
For sure.
All right. I can do some numerology now.
Yeah, when you can just randomly plug whatever you want in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
figure out how to make it preach.
I would like to formally apologize, I guess, for my Bahamas comment.
It's okay. Just promise never to try it again.
I wasn't trying to be funny.
Dude,
I
know.
All right, whatever. Whatever, Blake.
All right, I have a random question.
What's your random question?
I don't have an idiom because
we're not Don.
We're not Don, and my head was in cabinets all day. So,
literal cabinets or figurative cabinets?
Actually, they were virtual cabinets.
Oh.
I've got a job I'm trying to order.
The way that virtual, like the word virtual, has changed dramatically in the last like 15, 20 years?
Did it usually mean like virtuous?
No, like virtual means that it had a form of reality. Like it was like something. Like so if I was to go back and not say the Bahamas, I would say it is a virtual paradise.
Sure.
Yeah. So like,
but you could also say like, I virtually have, you know, a PhD because if I'm like right at the PhD level, but
sure,
I'm not there
you're
yet.
All yeah. It's a semblance of something.
Right. Yeah.
But now virtual, for the most part, has totally evolved into you are looking at something digital,
which is kind of the opposite.
Literally, yeah,
that is interesting.
Literally, virtual, figurative, all those. You're welcome for that. I thought about this the other day because I was thinking about virtual paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Because if you said a virtual paradise to anyone under the age of 20.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on 1 second.
Hello?
Welcome to Products of Grace with Blake and Dr. Anik, because Lawson has left the building. So. We are.
What did he say? I think his dad's here.
His dad's here?
Yeah.
Rusty!
You should definitely post this.
His whole family just showed up? What? Randomly? All right, we're going to post a short podcast. Blake, I'm going to ask you the music question.
All right, hit me.
All right. So, is there such thing as ungodly music or just ungodly lyrics?
What do you mean? Ask in a different way.
Okay, so like if there was no lyrics or just music itself, like the beat, the tempo, the instruments, can you have no lyrics and the music, like musical tones put together themselves, be ungodly? or is it only the lyrics are ungodly? So you look at like trash rap music, like the lyrics are terrible. Sure. If you removed the lyrics,
are the beats good?
Would it, is there some form of music that exists that is in and of itself ungodly?
I think that music points to God in its order and in its beauty. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can say beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but that's not completely true. There is an objective standard of beauty, right? If there are things that we all can look at and say that's beautiful, that's mm-hmm. wonderful, that's like glorious or whatever. And so to me, if music itself could be ungodly or evil, it would probably be music that's trying not to sound traditionally beautiful. Does that make sense? Like not mm-hmm. no order, no tempo.
But then is that even
cacophony?
Music?
Cacophony. But that's what I'm saying. That
it's like when Harlan plays the piano.
Right. Or any of my children. Yes. Right. It could be called music in our society, but I don't even think that I would call it music, because music seems to assume beautiful melody and harmony and tempo and cadence.
And some of those things, though, like if you look at like different cultures, what other cultures would say is beautiful music, we would be like,
Yeah, but I think that you could at least, like if you found another culture that wasn't your culture, and maybe it wasn't the kind of music you liked, I think you could still point out that there is a beauty to it, right? Mm-hmm. That it's not like if it's from some random culture that you have no knowledge of, even their music probably has some quality of beauty to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's just this cacophonous mess of like, you know, tones that don't work together and lack of tempo or lack of like a steady rhythm or beat. Like I think that you could look at the music of another culture and say, even though I don't like that music, even though it's not my style,
mm-hmm.
there's still something beautiful about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even like, I think that even if you say, take a song that is full of profanity and terrible, like degrading lyrics, and you take those lyrics out and all you hear is a beat with music in the background. Whose phone is that?
I don't know.
Maybe that's Lawson's iPad. With music in the music in the background, I still think that you could probably find beauty in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that there is something beautiful innately in the order, if you will, of music. Like the understanding of the scales and the you know, and like the all of the different rules about resonance, like, and how you like finish a progression and all of those things.
So then the question is,
all right,
is music invented or discovered?
They have this great discussion at school at the beginning of the school year about math this way. Is mm-hmm. math invented or discovered? Mm-hmm. I think that music is discovered because I would argue, I like to think about the way that Jesus creates the universe mm-hmm. as a song, right? So he speaks it.
That's
right?
What happened in Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah, true. So as he speaks it, like obviously beauty is coming forth, you know? And so I don't think it's too far of a jump to say, to kind of see that as a song, right? And so when you think about, this is actually important for our text a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and this is the first recorded song lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always an assumption that people have sung. Like you find little hints throughout Genesis and Exodus, even before this first spoken song, that people sing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like an assumed reality. So it wasn't something that someone just one day, you know, like Adam or Eve or somebody invented. Like I would assume that they heard it
mm-hmm.
from God when they walked in the garden with him. I mean, we have no way of knowing, right? Mm-hmm. This is all just assumptions and fun things to talk about. But I think that singing music comes directly from that. Like, why? What possesses someone to one day be like, I'm going to make an instrument out of whatever this thing that I have? Like,
the thump.
Right. And there is, you know, you even think about, like, there is a certain music to creation. Like hearing rainfall, like there is a certain like music to that. And there are natural songs, like the birds sing, sing songs. And you know, I think it's innate in the creation of the world. Music is, and the beauty of it is. And I think that when you try to make it not beautiful, it ceases to be music.
Yeah, it seems like when you add it to other things, like you could take it's kind of like the context in which it's in. So even if you had music with no lyrics, but it was at like a rave,
yeah,
and like people are doing debaucherous things, sure. And it's like the loudness and the beat and the noise mixed with the lights and the fog and the, I mean, you could be talking about some churches on Sunday morning.
Oh my gosh.
Or a rave.
You're setting that up.
But it, like, that, like, invokes this emotion in you and sure. whatever. And I think maybe so all of those things together. But if you took the music outside of that and you played the exact same thing in a sunny meadow, you know, it wouldn't have the same effect.
True.
Even though the music is exactly the same.
True.
So it probably has a lot to do with like what it's combined with as well, like music combined with words or music combined with a space or with other people or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. I think that like math and music are closely connected too.
Of course. Patterns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. It's almost like somebody made it all and is holding it all together by the word of his power.
Well, you know, like when you think about music has, you know, I quit guitar lessons far too early. You know, I learned enough to play like every David Crowder song I knew. And so I just was like, I don't need any of this. But like my guitar teacher was, you know, wanting to teach us music theory and all of these things. And, you know, he would play us like a little riff on the guitar, and it could be super long or super short. And as he played it, he would stop at the second to last note.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who can hear that and then tell you what the last note should be, you know? And like, there's a pattern to it, right? There's a way like chords work because of the difference in, you know, in tone that they have. And there's no, you know, minor chords are minor because of the way that they're closer together and all those things. Like all of that stuff is obviously by design, which reminds us that God didn't leave anything to chance. And if there was something that was going to be so integral to the worship of his name, why not make it super robust? You know what I mean? Oh, it's fascinating.
I wonder how evolutionists come up with where music and math came from.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's... like, I don't know.
It's order. I mean, what's interesting, right, is that they are having to say that order was created from chaos.
Right.
But that is, in essence, what we see in the Bible, too, right? You have these swirling dark waters and right. the Lord.
But the chaos didn't organize itself.
Right, exactly. And so they have to make this big jump of, like, you went from chaos and accidentally got all of this order.
Right, yeah. Yeah. All right. Good times. Well, I guess since Lawson has left the building, we're going to call it a day. So I'd like to thank Blake for his participation today on the podcast. Sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider fell into his seat. My brother and my friend, Godspeed. What you preaching about tonight?
The parable of new and old treasures. It's a tough one. It says, and he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old.